Welcome everyone to the Crit Rate Podcast for Wednesday, April 10th. This is episode 87. I'm your host, Justin Skirbo, and today I'm joined by Justin Chow.
He's back.
And I'm joined by Liz Caetano.
What's up?
What's up, everybody? We are getting started way later than usual, so we're just going to dive straight into it. Are you ready, listeners?
Let's dive.
So we're about to go on a journey.
Splash.
You guys didn't even look at the I should start adding these to our Discord so you can see the topics as I populate them, because I've been putting them in like a separate Discord just so I like have the list of things. All right. So
Our Discord would be a good place.
I should be doing that. Yeah. It's just that I want to collect them all at the same time, so I don't want to like mix like messages in between. So it's like one. Sequence, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll create a separate channel, yeah, like a separate thing in it. Yeah. Okay. First order of business. Famed indie, I don't even know what you would call it, like phenomenon game, Vampire Survivors.
Oh, yeah.
Is finally getting its PlayStation release.
Oh, yeah. Good for you.
Good for me this summer.
Did you look at the trophy list? Do they have it out yet?
No, they didn't publish anything about a trophy list. I imagine it'll be the same as whatever the Xbox achievement list is. But that comes out this summer, and in May they're dropping a new DLC for it that's all themed with Contra, which is such a weird tease, because Contra is obviously a property from Konami, mm-hmm, and Vampire Survivors you would imagine would pair really nicely with Castlevania instead of Contra.
But I do see the sprites being relatively similar, and Contra, like, yeah, I mean, they're gonna be shooting balls, right? So it's like, I see it. It's kind of cute. But yeah, it should have been Castlevania. There should be another crossover with Castlevania.
Yeah.
It should have been Castlevania.
I know you had a lot of experience with Vampire Survivors. Have you played at all, Liz?
No, I haven't. I mean, I know about it, obviously, but I've never sat down with it, really.
It's so fantastically just such a like a simple game that feels really good. And it totally makes sense. It should have been. Is it not an app? It should have been a phone game.
I'm sure it is.
Right?
Yeah. I'm sure it is.
Yeah, I think it's
mobile. I don't know for sure, but
it was great. And the cooperative was really fun, too.
I am excited to put some time into it. And summer seems like a great time. I don't think there's anything in summer right now.
Yeah.
Pretty much after
the industry collapses.
May,
right.
I think it's going to be open. Which they're also rumoring a pretty massive PlayStation showcase in May, which might be the announcement of PS5 Pro.
Right.
Probably more about Wolverine. Maybe more about that game Concord. A lot of interesting rumors floating around that. Okay. We're just going to keep firing.
Yeah,
we're going rapid fire. So the next one, we got the announcement of a new Prince of Persia game, Rogue Prince of Persia. Did you see this?
Is it like another 2D?
So it is a 2D side-scrolling roguelite game from the people that made Dead Cells.
Oh.
But it's got a pretty interesting art style. And yeah, I don't know. It seems like Ubisoft is leaning harder into Prince of Persia. I think that other 2D one that came out just did like okay, like,
I didn't
commercially
hear anything about it after it came out.
Yeah, I know that people liked it. I know critically it did well, but I don't know if commercially it like sold super well.
Yeah,
the Rogue Prince of Persia.
That's interesting. That's like also
from
kind
the Dead
of
Cells,
like
guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. That's also kind of like a trend that's been happening lately, where games are like relatively rated and seen by critics pretty favorably,
mm-hmm,
but then don't sell.
I think it's just a problem where they're not. I was gonna say it could be an oversaturation thing, and it could also just be like a lack of finding their audiences, you know, like Prince of Persia, that most recent game, for example, I think does hit a certain market, but there's, I would imagine, there's a lot of skepticism around that. So even if you waited for reviews, it's like it was also priced a little high, if I remember. I think it was like $50 or something, which seems odd for a 2D side scroller.
Yeah.
So interesting. The Rogue Prince of Persia art style looks kind of interesting. I'm probably not going to play it. I never played Dead Cells either, but I've obviously heard really good things.
It was really good.
It got stupid hard.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's a good. Dead Cells makes a lot of sense, honestly. If they're trying to make a roguelike, like Dead Cells roguelike was really well put together, like mechanics wise it was really clean and it made a lot of sense, and also I would say from Dead Cells perspective, like the movement in Dead Cells is really good and like kind of fits the vibe of Prince of Persia really well. It's like very fluid and like the movement feels really good.
Okay.
And when I look at Prince of Persia, I think of like the same kind of like Aladdin slides, you know, and,
oh
like,
yeah,
the movements. I don't know,
you know who played Dead Cells extensively? Previous TZR writer Mike Potts.
Yeah. Oh.
He was a big, big Dead Cells fan. Hmm. All right. Next, Pocket Pair, developers behind Palworld, have announced the Palworld Arena PvP mode. It was just a matter of time.
Yeah.
I imagine a battle royale is coming soon as well.
Oh man, a Pokemon battle royale.
Yeah, I feel like the hype for Palworld burned off pretty fast.
Much faster than I was expecting.
You know, it seemed like such a phenomenon. Like it was just sort of like taking over the world, and then I think a lot of people realized that it's very early access.
Yeah, when I was looking at it, it looked very
rudimentary.
Yeah, I wouldn't say rudimentary, just stiff and like, I don't know, not polished properly, yeah. Like completely
unpolished.
Yeah.
Unpolished.
Not polished.
Yeah. I have no interest in playing this. I believe it's coming to other platforms soon. I know.
Yeah, it's just kind of, it was kind of one barrier too far away from me.
Yeah, well, being it's on like, Xbox and Steam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just couldn't do it.
I'm just not super interested in it. As an owner of a Pokemon store, I feel like it would almost be a betrayal in some way.
No, I mean, I would be interested at least to see what all the fuss is about, but, you know, it's just deep into Baldur's Gate. And now that we're finished with 7, I'm getting back deep into Baldur's Gate. You
finally finish Baldur's Gate?
Yeah, we're pretty close to the end. We're in the last act.
Have you put more hours into Baldur's Gate than you did Final Fantasy?
Probably about the same.
About the same?
Probably about the same. But all of my hours in Baldur's Gate felt pretty purposeful.
Yeah, what was your final playtime in Final Fantasy?
Right now, I've had since after I beat it, I have gone back and been like meddling with some things that I didn't finish just to sort of, I don't know, pass the time.
Yeah.
And so right now I'm at 120.
120.
But yeah. I've left it on quite a bit.
Yeah.
So I
imagine I'm going to end at the 100 hour mark.
And you've done everything?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say I think I beat it around like 110, but like that was probably over. That was probably over by like 10 to 20 hours, honestly. Yeah, because okay. Like frequently I will turn it on and at like 10 a.m., you know, or like 8 a.m. after yeah. The kids go to school before I start work, and I'll play for an hour and then I'll put it down.
Yeah,
and leave it on. Until 5 when I pick it back up again.
See, that's where I've been at now, where it's like I feel like I've been stealing every half hour possible to play it. And this is what you were saying before, where it's like I feel like it just has too much of a grip on my life. And it's like I'm very much looking forward to, as much as I'm enjoying it, and I'm enjoying it a lot more now than I had been for the last 20 hours.
Doing story stuff.
Yeah. I am very much looking forward to like kind of closing this chapter when it's done and enjoying maybe something else. Maybe I'll indulge one of my other hobbies for a minute before before diving into the next game. Although I'm still looking at Unicorn Overlord, man.
Yeah, me too.
And Stellar Blade comes out like next week.
I haven't decided what I want to buy it on. I think I might buy it on PlayStation and not the Switch.
Yeah, I feel like I need to take I need some evenings back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Spend some time with Jason. Yeah, watch something together.
Right. I hear that.
Him watching something on his phone while I play Final Fantasy.
I was at 134 hours, and that was a pretty true 134. Maybe there was like 2 hours in there that I like wasn't playing.
Okay.
But yeah, and I don't know. Spent a lot of time trying.
Well, here we'll jump topics a little bit.
Yeah.
Because in the in respect of trying to do something with your significant other outside of video games. That new Fallout TV show got its first set of ratings today.
Yeah.
The Amazon Prime exclusive Fallout. And it's got like a 95 on Rotten Tomatoes now after the first wave of critics.
Wow.
And it already got approved for its second season.
Wow.
So I'm shocked. I really was not expecting this to be very good.
I'll watch it.
I was expecting this to be pretty bad.
Yeah, like right. Right when you hear Amazon exclusive, I'm like, nope.
Yeah, right.
Like, you can only make Jack Ryan once. You can only make Jack Ryan once.
They have The Boys too, right?
They have The Boys and they have Invincible.
I didn't watch The Boys. I don't remember Invincible. Oh, that's the cartoon.
Yeah.
I just like Jack Ryan. Did you watch Jack Ryan?
It's great. I watched the first season.
Jack Ryan's excellent.
But yeah, those
are
the
guy from Office.
Those are both very, very good shows. And they had a spinoff of The Boys, Gen V, which was also very good.
There's a spinoff.
Maybe they know what they're doing. Yes. I mean, I like, even just from the trailer of this, was under the impression that they did not get the feeling down correctly. Like, it just looks too clean. You know what I mean?
For a Fallout game?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's got to be a little grungy. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Is it not?
Honestly, I feel like also some of the, though, like, feeling of, I feel like the recent Fallout games. What was the most recent Fallout game?
76. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that didn't perform so well. No. And I feel like I still had that sort of taste in my mouth of, like, you guys can't do this right.
I get where you're coming from. I feel like
four was mid too.
I feel like
that's what I mean. I feel like since the height of Fallout, like I don't even remember when that was. Like
Fallout 3. I think like, Fallout 3, it was never more popular than when Fallout 3 came out, and then New Vegas was, I think, a little less popular because I don't think people understood that it was like it wasn't Fallout 4. You know what I mean? It was like this like side thing. And then 4, I think, got a lot of players, but it was objectively a worse game.
I don't know. It's funny because, like, you look at that RPG style, right? And it's like other games do that same thing. But, like, I feel like, I don't know, it's under the, like, the Bethesda, and I guess Obsidian also falls in that realm, right? Yep. But, like, a Bethesda, like, murky swamp that I keep looking at. And I'm like, I like the idea behind it. But, like, Starfield was, and then Fallout 76, and then Fallout 4, and then all the things that they've kind of come out with since, it's just kind of been, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. So then you assume that the show would be just as bad.
Yeah.
Like the Halo show.
Yeah. Exactly. Also, I feel like other things that have come out, like the Halo show.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
Or Avatar: The Last Airbender.
It seems like the video game franchise TV adaptation has been pretty hit or miss in that way. Because, Halo is like...
Except for Cyberpunk.
Well, it's like, Cyberpunk
Edge Runners was...
Goddamn.
Amazing.
I have been listening to that song, like, a lot in the last few days, and I'm just crying a little bit on the inside. Right? It's, like, actually painful to listen to it. It's like, man, shit. But then you get stuff like Twisted Metal, which I think was perfectly fun. Like, that was a total...
I didn't watch it.
I really liked it.
Really? It was a totally fun show. Like, I would say... At worst, it was inoffensive, and at best, it was genuinely funny and interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
It was funny.
Yeah.
I liked it.
It was interesting.
It was funny and interesting. All
right. Funny and interesting.
And then it was like, easy to watch, kind of.
Yeah, it's junk food TV. It's junk food TV.
So Fallout is out. Fallout, the show, is out?
I don't think it's out. It's not out yet. It just went through its like first like critics thing. Let me find
it. Is it going to be like one of those weekly things, or is it... No, Boys was weekly.
Debut of its first season. Weekly. Oh, tomorrow.
They typically,
tomorrow
comes out. Amazon typically does like a 3-episode drop or something, like a 2-episode drop, and then they release.
Fine. Now watch TV like it's normally supposed to be watched.
I prefer the Amazon drop method because otherwise I feel like you consume the whole thing and then it's like a year goes by and you're like, what happened? Like you don't even like it. Yeah. It's like so it also occupies like, such a much smaller time in your life that like it seems much less consequential than when you watch. Something that like
One thing or the other, like if I look at stuff like, you know, when like Last of Us did that, where it was like it only came in one, like Game of Thrones did that, it became a thing.
Then you want to then it's a water cooler topic,
exactly.
Yeah. Whereas like episode, what do you think? God, you know, I miss you have those moments.
Whereas like remind me, I think when Breaking Bad was coming out,
Lost was like the beginning, I think, of like those water cooler topics where everybody was enjoying the same show at the same time.
What was like a big show where it just drops the entire season all at the same time?
Not Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad was on Breaking AMC. Bad was.
Yeah, I thought it was like later seasons it did, but I could be nuts.
Netflix did it first. So.
Netflix does it for everything. Yeah, when
like The Witcher. See, that's what I mean. Like, I feel like The Witcher would have benefited from a weekly drop.
So it's also just a stressful thing because it's like if you don't watch it all right now, then you're gonna get spoiled.
Exactly.
You know?
So there's all this pressure.
I never think about that. Except for Final Fantasy. Then I was thinking about it. I was like, I'm already a month in. I should probably finish it soon.
Yeah,
it's top of mind right now.
It's so funny too.
Plowing through is because I kept seeing almost spoilers. Like, look at what this character did, and what do you think about this big moment? I'm like, don't look.
I'm not sure. Okay, I don't mean to talk about Final Fantasy. I'm just gonna say like, I'm not sure if YouTube knows this or if they're like tapped into my PlayStation. But the day I finished the game was the day that all of these things were like ending explained, and I'm like, there's tens of videos that are
your phone was waiting to hear the ending cutscene.
That's what I'm thinking. And then in that case, I'm happy about it.
I saw some like a couple of videos come up about ending explained, and then as soon as I watched one, then it was like, do you want to watch 20 more?
Anyway, so I'll watch Fallout. That sounds good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It comes out tomorrow.
Yeah, it's good. I'll watch Rotten Tomatoes. I trust you by a 70%.
95% is
over
90.
Anything over 90
is
shocking.
I've been slated by the 90% before on Rotten Tomatoes.
But Lobster
wasn't a good movie, guys.
But if you have like a passing interest in Fallout, it's at least enough of a nod to say like, sure, like I'll check it out.
And I don't think a show like Fallout is going to be one of those like, it got a 95 because it's so artistically cerebral kind of things that you're not actually.
Are you sure?
I'm not sure, but I have a good feeling about this. I would put some money on it.
I hope Todd Howard put this out there. I kind of hate myself a little bit because like, I feel like I'm just such a predictable part of the market because it's like, this video game related TV show is coming out. I'm like just in general more interested in that than any other show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, what other show do you know?
Well, that's what it is. It's like, but I hate that I'm predisposed in that way, you know? Yeah. But whatever. Okay, let's keep going. Slay the Spire 2 has been announced. Did any of you guys play Slay the Spire?
I did hear about this, actually.
I think Alex did a bunch.
I don't remember, honestly.
What was the...
Is it like a card-based roguelike?
It's a deck building.
Yeah, it's a deck builder,
yeah. I've heard very, very good things about it, but I've never actually played it.
Alex did play it. Alex is such a card guy.
He is. Alex. speaking of Alex, this next topic has nothing to do with him.
Perfect.
Great.
Dead Space 2 was apparently in the process of getting remade, but has been shelved due to apparently lackluster sales of the first game, which is so strange to me because, I mean, that game came out right after Callisto Protocol, so I feel like people probably chose sides at that time.
Yeah.
But honestly, that Dead Space remake was really, really good. Like, was it the same game? Yes, it was. But it looks amazing, and it played amazing. I don't know. I really enjoyed going back through Dead Space again.
Looking back on it, it's
such a quality game. Like, I kind of want to just go play it again. Like, it's exactly the kind of horror game that I want, like Resident Evil 4.
I know. I think I'm going to eventually, maybe this summer, or maybe I'll just wait till Halloween. But looking back on it, I really don't think I liked Callisto Protocol, and that's like one of the very few games that I've beaten in the past 5 years. And it's just like,
It was pretty short, though. I mean, it was like short. It was like what, sub 10 hours?
Yeah,
yeah, something or maybe like maybe slightly more than that. I don't know.
In that ballpark, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Next topic, actually, after Final Fantasy, I think before I do Unicorn Overlord, I think I'm going to play that Brothers remake because I looked it up and it says time from like starting to platinum, 2 hours.
Oh, what? Oh.
I was like, I would love.
How much is this game?
It's like, I don't remember.
What is
maybe maybe 20, maybe less than 20. I don't know. But I've never played Brothers. Frank played it a bunch. My brother played it, and he was like, "Yeah, you really got to play this game." And I was like, "Okay."
Yeah.
And it's made by the people that did It Takes Two, and all that stuff.
Oh wait, no, I did play that game.
Isn't that the one you play with somebody?
No, that's A Way Out.
Oh, I didn't play Brothers. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, Brothers is not a co-op game. It's you control two people, but each one is a different analog stick. Yeah. So apparently, beginning to end, full platinum in 2 hours. That will feel exceptionally good after the hard mode playthrough of Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is an update. So, you know, PlayStation's super cool Game Pass competitor, PPP.
Yeah.
They call it PlayStation Plus Extra or Premium, Premier. One of the P.
Positive sounding words.
So we know that the extra tier, that's where like you get some of the newer games. They've had a couple of day and date releases, which has been sort of new for that service because it was never promised, and they certainly are not promising first party titles in the same way that Game Pass does.
Right.
But games like Sea of Stars dropped day one on there, and games like Stray dropped day one on there. So that level of value has been, you know, acknowledged, and it seems like they're leaning a little bit harder into that. Because the games for April have been announced, and it includes a day one drop for PlayStation, like not on other consoles, but Dave the Diver is going to make its PlayStation debut and be part of PlayStation Extra, as well as this game called Tears of Kenzara Zao, which I'm not familiar with, but yeah.
Interesting.
Pretty.
Zao sounds kind of Chinese-y.
Yeah. Oh, and that game Animal Well.
Animal Well.
That's a Donkey's game.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Pixelated game.
So
it's funny because, like, I think about the whole, like, you know, free game. Not, well, I guess it is kind of free, but, like, the perks of giving away games, especially, like, higher valued games than, like, you know, the normal games that they've been giving away on, like, a monthly basis for the subscription. And I think about, like, Xbox Game Pass, and I'm like, but didn't we discern that that's not really that? I mean, the value is huge, but, like, it's not really a viable business strategy.
Yeah,
I don't think it is, but maybe whatever PlayStation's offering is making it more useful or something. And
I like the idea that they're not committing to anything, and then they're also giving these things as, like, bonuses, and that these things are games that have already been out for a while and kind of proved themselves. So it's like a second burst of win for them, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, and PlayStation's isn't unfamiliar with this style of transaction. I mean, when they were doing just like the regular base PlayStation Plus titles, there was a few games that launched day and date on there, like Rocket League and things like that. So I think it's something that they're probably comfortable with. And honestly, it's also
way more expensive than Game Pass, right?
Is it?
No, I think it's actually pretty comparable.
Is it?
The extra tier is. Premium is definitely not. Premium is definitely more expensive. The one with like the classics catalog. But extra is that middle tier one. That includes all of these games.
Okay, I had it wrong. So, what are the tiers? So, essentials is regular.
Essentials is what everybody has.
Yeah, just...
Like, you get to play games online, and you get your two games a month.
And then extra, and then premium.
Yeah.
Extra, middle, premium, yeah, top. Okay,
extra is where the new games come out. The only difference between that and premium is premium gets you the PS1 games.
Okay. This whole time, I thought we were talking about premium.
No, this is on the extra tier. So, pretty cool. And so, the last point that I was making was, it appears the games that are coming day and date are lower tier games. You know, you're not getting a Starfield. Right. You're getting a Dave the Diver.
Or Stray Cats. Yeah,
yeah. And in Dave the Diver's case, it's like, they've already made all their money. So, if PlayStation's going to enter an agreement with them, they're just guaranteeing them a certain amount of sales, basically. Right. And they get this big player base bump and everybody's happy, you know?
Yeah.
So we're probably not terribly detrimental to PlayStation's model to, you know,
I think they might be doing tag it games smarter like this. Than Xbox was how they kind of like just threw everything to the wall and tried to see what sticks.
Yeah, to make a blanket statement like that is pretty tough. Okay. I've got two more topics here that we can dive into. So the next topic is about Microsoft. So earlier in the week, there was an announcement from Sarah Bond, Xbox president, and she basically said that they are establishing a team that is dedicated specifically towards game preservation and backwards compatibility on future hardware. Yeah. So this doesn't really mean that much other than they have sort of like a concerted effort towards making this a part of their model, which is cool. I was kind of under the impression that that was already happening, considering that, like, they have been probably the best example of backwards compatibility and preservation since Xbox original, you know?
Yeah. Maybe they had, like, it was one of those things where they had a top-level meeting where they're like, here's where we're outpacing the competition.
Yeah.
Compatibility, backwards compatibility, like, and game preservation.
Yeah.
Let's take this and expand on that.
And double down, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm just, like, watching this corporate presentation about how they're communicating to their employees about this new team that they're making.
It's funny. Like, it's cool that they have that sort of activation that's there, but it is funny that, like, their implementation is a little all over the place, because I have had probably equal amount of experiences successfully and unsuccessfully playing old games on new hardware, you know? Like, I remember before Armored Core came out, I was like, oh, let me play the Xbox 360 one. And I literally went out of my way, bought it, and threw it in my Series X.
Yeah.
Nope, can't play that. I was like, well, your promise failed.
Do you think things would change if there was, like, full backwards compatibility with, like, the Xbox Series X?
Well, probably not, considering their new version of the Series X is losing the disk drive.
Right. That's a good one. So,
yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, totally.
It's a weird and crazy world. I almost wonder if in the future this version of the Series X is going to be, like, worth more. Yeah.
I mean, if it's just a system update that requires them to... No, it's got to be way more than that, right? Because like PlayStation, I remember when they were talking about backwards compatibility, it was all based off of like how those games ran on the hardware at that time and trying to emulate that on newer systems.
Yeah, well, they're like, we just have to take the hardware from the old system and put it in our new system.
It's so funny because like...
Because they were all built so differently for such a long time.
Yeah, it's like the architecture that Xbox has always been on are basically PCs. Yeah, so, so their products are scalable. That's why you can get original Xbox games with some sort of like upscaled version on Series X. Like, it's cool that that kind of thing can happen. But PlayStation, they've always shot themselves in the foot where it's like, you know... With PS3, PS2, backwards compatibility, it's like, oh yeah, we had to like build out an entire section of this console just to play PS2 games. Oh wait, it's too expensive. We're going to take that out now.
What if the next direction that they're going in is literally Game Pass, but with everything that was ever released on the Xbox, because the fact that it was built for a PC, basically.
They're copying PPP. That's what that would be.
But does PPP have all of those games available?
No, but it's sales pitches that like dive into the classic PlayStation games.
I mean, you could do that now kind of with the Xbox. Like, they have
360 games. Not like for free, unless they are on Game Pass. I don't know. I haven't engaged with Game Pass in a very long time.
They have like all of the Fables on Game Pass and a bunch of other stuff. I mean, like, I feel like
that's kind of cool.
They have a lot of old stuff on Xbox Game Pass, but can you imagine if they had the the full library access to you? Then that'd be insane. Become way more useful, and then you wouldn't be shooting yourself in the foot by putting new games on Game Pass.
You have to imagine on some level they own some portion of the license for anything that was published on their games.
Oh, that's a good point, too. Yeah, you licensing, know? Yeah.
Because, like, yeah.
I mean, which one of those license holders wouldn't want them to put their game on their thing and then be paid $5 a month, you know?
Or something, like,
what else is
right?
What else is that software doing?
Yeah.
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 There could be other things, though, in games, too, that get licensed, like the music.
Yeah.
That make it a lot.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. Right.
God damn it, Fallout Boy.
Yeah.
The hell.
That can make those things complicated.
Mm.
All right. The last topic that I have for this evening.
Hit me.
It's a sad one. So as of Monday, so we're getting to this a little late, so 2 days ago, was the last day you could play Wii U and 3DS online.
Yes, I did hear about it.
They're dead now.
Yeah. They're dead.
Rip. It's funny. I saw all these videos of people playing, like, and it's actually ironic.
Like, we're
listening to
DS
music right now. Yeah. I was watching videos that people uploaded of them playing, like, Mario Kart 7 on their 3DS online, and then it just cutting out in the middle of the game. Sad.
That is super sad. It's so... Oh, my God. The same energy around like when they cut off the Halo 2 servers, and I remember seeing a video of people on the chat with a bunch of people, and they're like, yeah, they said they were going to close down the servers like 3 hours ago. Like, where is that? And it just cuts out. Yeah. And I was just like, damn, these guys were just hanging out in the lobby together.
Yeah.
And then it just cuts to silence. That's sad.
Yeah. It's a really unfortunate thing, because it's like, I feel like there's not a more clear indicator that that generation's over. You know, like, I remember when it happened to the original,
not supported anymore.
Yeah. Right. Like, I remember when it happened to the original Wii, and like, that was a bit of a blow. And then, like, you see Nintendo at least rolls it out slowly, where they're like, okay, we're going to stop
it for a long time.
Yeah. It's like, we're going to stop accepting credit cards. You can still like use points to buy stuff, but you know, no more credit cards. And then it's like, okay, all transactions are done now, but the servers are still up. And then they're like, okay, servers are down. Everything's gone now. And it's like, shit.
Such a slow death.
Yeah. Right. But I mean, is that better or worse than like PlayStation? Like, PlayStation, for example, in many ways, they just kill servers with like a week's notice. Mm. So like, one thing that drives me nuts, and it's like, oh my God, it haunts me now, but PlayStation 4 launch title Killzone Shadowfall. Mm-hmm. I remember trying to get that platinum trophy for a really long time, and there's a lot of online components to it that require a ridiculous amount of grinding, and I remember putting many, many hours into that game, getting close to it. And I think it was like 2 years ago, they killed the servers. So now those trophies, impossible to get. You can never get them ever again.
Killzone 2. I haven't even thought about that game.
Yeah. Killzone Shadowfall. Yeah. But, man, shame.
Yeah.
So was there anything on the Wii U or the 3DS that you had specific online experiences with? I mean, Smash, obviously.
It was Smash.
And engage in the Miiverse.
I had problems with Smash. No, honestly. It was... Let's see. What else did I use that was just a Smash machine? That was it.
What, your 3DS or your Wii U?
No, my Wii U. I mean, the only thing that I played on my 3DS that was online was also Smash.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I played a lot of Mario Kart 8. Like, that was a big deal on there. I played a lot of Splatoon, and it kind of sucks because, like, I really like the original Splatoon, like, a lot. And 2 and 3, they're very similar games, but it's not the same game. You know, it wasn't the first time that I played that.
Right.
And now that game is effectively totally dead, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like...
Yeah, you can't play that single player.
Those feelings just live in the past now, you know? There is a single player component of that game, but it sucks. It's not what the game is, you know? Right. Yeah.
It's like a tutorial.
Yeah.
That is a bummer. But I mean, what would you open it up to now? Like, our attention is definitely not around there. It just sucks that we can't have it.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not. And I'm certain.
I just want to know that it's there.
The fan servers are imminent. I mean, it always happens after the fact, you know? Like, I literally, within the last 2 months, I played Phantasy Star Online on my GameCube online, you know?
Yeah.
So it comes back. Liz, did you ever play? You never had a Wii U, did you? Did you ever have a 3DS?
Nope.
You didn't have a 3DS?
I did not.
Wow, you missed out.
You're like a Pokemon person, and you don't have a 3DS?
That's how we define you.
Yeah, I feel like you're really oversized Pokemon person. I mean, I missed a lot of
It's more of Jason's generations. Thing.
I guess it's more of Jason's thing, right? Does he have a 3DS?
Did he have a 3DS? Yeah, he did.
Okay.
Dude, I love 3DS.
There are four 3DSs in my household right now. It's, I don't know. I felt like that console was so ubiquitous. It was like, I mean, for a while, it was like a ridiculously prolific console.
Yeah.
Like,
it wasn't even just huge. Like, there was a moment when I was playing these games on the 3DS, and I was like, this is actually a really good machine. Like, the games that it actually had were, like, pretty deep. And I think that was the first time I ever played a Fire Emblem game, like, from start to finish. Same, and I was like,
Awakening.
Damn, this is good. Like, this is really good. I was living in the city at that time, too, so I was walking around with it, and I would get street passes all the time, and I was just like, this is a fantastic thing to just have wherever I am, to have, like, meaningful video, portable video game experiences versus, say,
I was thinking, you mentioned the street pass thing, or spot pass, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The last time I used that was I was playing Bravely Default, and I was calling in characters. I wonder if that game is going to basically be fundamentally different and or broken without that.
I mean, it would create... it created scenarios where you can, like, meet fake, you know...
People.
Parties, and stuff. But, yeah, that's a good question. I wonder if Street Pass... Is Street Pass dead, too, then?
I believe so, yeah.
That was... But was that online?
I think that...
It wasn't just, like, a wallet that you collected other people's contact information from?
I remember seeing something... About Street Pass in particular.
What was the mechanism that allowed you to just pick up people's Street Passes as you passed them, like, from the other side of the street? Like, I feel like you'd have to have a pretty big transmitter in order to, like, recognize that so quickly as you're just walking past, you know? You know what I mean?
I don't know anything about this game. Sorry.
No, it's not a game. It's just the console. Oh, yeah. Well,
I don't know anything about this console.
Yeah, okay. That's fair. All right. I'm sorry. Sorry for looking at you, Liz.
Yeah, I was not the right person to throw that to.
All you have to know is that I'm going from the city. I would go from my apartment to the subway. Sometimes it's not even the subway. I would just walk to work.
Yeah.
And it was like only a couple blocks. And I would pick up like 12 to 20 some odd street passes along the way to work. Some of the people I found... worked with me in the office with their DSs, which was a great revelation when we were like, and then we'd be like, we just nod to each other and we're like, yeah, okay, don't talk about it though.
Did you have to have your console on?
Yeah.
In order to...
It was always on, and it put it in self and sleep mode when you closed it. And then as you would pass by, like if you had your DS out, it would have like this little like green light on the side saying that you got a street pass, which was hilarious. And like as you're on the subway or whatever, people would just have their DSs, and how amazing, what a fantastic way to feel like you're part of a community without
having to talk to
anybody. It's such like an underground exclusive feeling to be like, wow, I'm part of this club that all these other people know that I'm also around, but they don't know who I am. So I'm both anonymous, but also we're not anonymous.
So I can't find a definitive answer, but friend of the show, Zeon from Nintendo Life he literally published a video last week talking about this specifically.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I didn't watch the video, so I'm not sure.
We're on air.
Yes, we are on the air. So, I mean, either way, end of an era, end of a console generation, man.
Yeah, but we're in the Switch era now.
Does that mean,
we are.
Okay, hold
does that mean like Nintendo 64 and GameCube and PlayStation, those eras haven't ended because they never had online services? So like,
I think those eras are also over.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Well, I think
the fact that you can't play them on your TVs without an adapter means that the era is over.
I believe it's like when the final game is published on a console, or like they're not supporting that console anymore. So when they stop manufacturing it or repairing it or anything like that.
Right.
And in this case, it's like the service that they're killing is the online service.
The last service, the last game.
It's dead now.
Yeah, is the server.
Well, guys, those are the topics that I had for today. I searched far and wide.
Yeah.
And this is what came to me as the cream of the crop. The cream of the crop. I'm very much looking forward to getting back to finishing Final Fantasy. I'm the last one.
So
how did this happen?
Alex didn't finish.
I don't know. So I what?
What?
Did I tell what Alex? No. I didn't tell him. I did tell him to finish.
Yes, you did.
So there is a Final Fantasy VII Rebirth orchestra thing happening. I think in December in New York.
Yeah.
Tickets sell in June. Do you guys want to go?
I would go. 100%
I mean, you don't like music. That's right. But this music is fucking great. Like, it's really good, guys. Like, I've been listening to Nightmare Begins on piano style. It's just so good.
Yeah.
But you're right. I'm sorry, Liz. I'll stop talking to you. Justin, let's go.
Yeah, I'm definitely down. My brother would probably be down to go, too.
We should definitely do it. I don't want to go. That'd be so much fun.
We're going to Distant Worlds.
Get dressed up. You know, I'll wear the Vincent outfit. You can do whatever you would do.
I just wouldn't enjoy it.
Yeah, right.
We're going to Distant Worlds in June.
Yeah, we are.
I'm amped about that.
I gotta beat that. Oh, that's what I'm gonna spend the next month on.
What's that?
Baldur's Gate.
Pixel Remaster?
No. Pixel Remaster.
I still have to beat 4 and 5. I have to beat 5 and 6.
I have to beat 15.
16.
16.
You should beat 16. Honestly, you know what I'm holding out for with 16? I'm actually very interested in the DLC, the Leviathan DLC in particular, especially after playing this game, because I think there's things about that game's combat that I like more than this game.
I agree. And it's stylish. It's
I think
stylish.
The spectacle, I think, is a little bit more grand.
Yeah. Sometimes. Some moves were silly.
Yeah.
I'm not on Team Ignition or whatever.
Yeah.
It's crazy that you remember that name.
But my assumption is, did you see that article? Actually, maybe this is another news thing. Did you see the article about the, like, qualifications for PlayStation 5 Pro featured games?
No.
So there, let me see if I can pull it up real quick. Talk about something.
PlayStation 5 Pro. I've been hearing stuff about people, developers being like, we're not even using the full PlayStation 5's potential.
Right.
What are you going to do with a Pro, and how much more do you think it's going to let, like, how much more capabilities do you think we as developers can squeeze out of the hardware that you have?
Quick resume.
Right. I guess. Yeah, that's the only thing. But would I spend another $500? Yeah, probably. All right. I'm just talking from the developer standpoint. Yeah. I feel like there's a point at which it's just like diminishing rate of returns. It's like, how much better could this get until you like systematically change how we play video games?
How much do you have left of 15? 16.
16? Oh, a lot. Oh, a lot. I think the last thing I did was I beat Titan.
Oh
yeah, right.
Yeah,
and then also like I'm thinking like I don't really know what's going on anymore, so I should start the game over again.
Okay, here we go.
What's after that? There's like Bahamut after that, I think.
Yeah, there's the whole Bahamut section, which is sick.
Bahamut. Yeah.
That's when you go to that. Oh my god, that game was so good.
All right,
I really like 16.
Slow down, slow down. I will say
the thing, and then the water, and then you have the Jills, and then
everybody
knows what you're talking about.
Stuff, and you're in the like. Yep. Ghost towns.
He hasn't seen the scene with Jill yet.
Yeah. Oh my god, you haven't seen the scene with Jill yet?
Yeah. What you're talking about.
Oh my god, you will know when you get there. And when you get there, you're gonna text all of us like, oh.
Be like, I feel very comfortable and totally fulfilled story-wise.
Speaking of female side characters, really quick, who did you get for your date in Cosmo Canyon? In Gold Saucer.
Aerith.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah, you didn't?
Interesting.
Now we got Tifa.
See? Did you watch the Aerith date yet?
I did, and it means so much more stuff.
Right?
Yeah.
I feel like it ties in a lot of the...
We'll talk about it later.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah, I would say it's a good thing you got the Aerith date.
PlayStation 5 Pro.
Yeah, Tifa was the right move.
PlayStation 5 Pro.
I recorded it.
Could have... okay, so... Do you remember when the PlayStation 4 Pro came out? On certain games, it would have like a little label on it that said like PlayStation 4 Pro Enhanced. And there were certain like requirements that a game would have to meet in order to have that label on the game.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
On the box?
Yes. Yeah. So there is... so PlayStation 4... with the rumored PlayStation 5 Pro, it seems that Sony is doing something similar. Inside Gaming not only claims that Sony is prepping a PlayStation 5 Pro enhanced label, but also apparently knows what the qualifications are that would consider a game a PlayStation 5 Pro enhanced game.
Okay.
So these are the things that it says that it's going to do. The first is a constant 60 FPS gameplay locked.
Love it.
Which plenty of games now offer, but only when set to a performance mode with weaker graphics.
Right.
So this would be like full graphical fidelity at a locked 60 FPS.
Take it back.
Would it though?
Every penny.
I don't know. It doesn't specifically say that. It just says maintain 60 FPS.
So these are the other things.
Right.
Let's keep going. Then the second and third points are as follows.
Proves Liz wrong.
To qualify for the PlayStation 5 Pro enhanced status, games will apparently also need a 4K resolution achieved by PSSR upscaling and add or increase ray tracing effects. So that means the game has to be displaying in some version of 4K at 60 FPS and have some level of ray tracing involved.
That's not how I interpret that. I still interpret that you could still have a performance and a quality mode and...
No, so it's saying right now what performance mode is considered is achieving 60 FPS at a at the sacrifice of something graphically. What this is saying is that it will require a constant 60 FPS while achieving 4K via PSSR.
Okay.
And... adding,
so it specifically says achieving 60 FPS while...
Yeah. Point one, the game must have a consistent 60 FPS or 60 frames per second. What it just says, the first is constant 60 FPS gameplay. Second... needs to appear in a 4K resolution achieved by PSSR upscaling and... adds or increases ray tracing effects.
So did it say before? Sorry, did it say before that like it will have these two things simultaneously?
Well, it says
a game must be able to have these two things.
Known internally as Trinity Enhanced, Sony ideally wants games to qualify. Ideally wants qualifying games to offer three things.
Yeah, that those does three. Not say that they're simultaneous.
Offer.
That is not how I interpret that.
Okay.
And I think we're setting ourselves up for a letdown if we're thinking that they're all going to happen at the same time.
Okay. I mean, the whole point of the PSSR thing is that it's taking a lower resolution and post-process upscaling it. So that I think is possible or would be possible at what we consider now.
Right.
Like with Rebirth is doing. Yeah. Like Rebirth is obviously taking a massive swing at visual fidelity to achieve 60 FPS, which is still worth it. But like, imagine if we had that having it at 4K, displaying in some way. Like, I think that would be worth it. And then add or increasing ray tracing. Honestly, ray tracing is not like the most exciting thing to me. I really don't care. But
I like windows that reflect.
Yeah, I mean, it's very like impressive, puddles. Definitely. Yeah. Like, it's very impressive that it can be done. I don't know if it's a determining factor.
It's the third most important thing. Yeah, it's like FPS absolutely first, resolution definitely second, and then ray tracing after that.
So I
don't know. I'm feeling pretty confident with this, and if they're able to do something with old games, like if they could, you know... do something about frame rate's probably going to be the hardest thing to do something about in old games if it's not deliberately patched for it. But my hope is that when the PlayStation 5 Pro comes out, Final Fantasy 16 will have an actual 60 frames per second situation. Cause it does now, but it chugs at certain times. Like when you spin the camera in like towns or whatever. Yeah. And I hate that shit. So I would love if that game ran perfect and there was new content. Yeah, I'd be down for that.
Well, anyway, yeah, I'm done.
How did we get here? I don't even remember.
We're talking about new news. We're talking about Final Fantasy, specifically 16.
Oh, yeah, you were saying you're going to play 16 after that.
Yeah.
That's what I was like, yes, yeah. I would play that.
I might also cheat my way through 1 through 5, because I do have that on the Switch, and I should just beat those.
Yeah, I want to do 5 and 6, but I got a platinum them, which requires guides.
Yeah.
And a long period of time. You need a break. Yeah. Well, doing something turn-based after this, I think, could be more fun, which is why I think Unicorn Overlord is going to be like a nice layup.
I think I really want to play through 4 and 6 again. I don't remember what 5 was about.
Yeah, I've never played 5. But 5 is a big blind spot for me.
Cecil, right?
Yeah.
And that's cool story arc.
It's a great story.
And then 6 is just the precursor to 7, and like I want to see the inspirations to that.
You know what's funny? 4 is such an old...
It's really very similar. Except
yeah,
just
right?
2D.
Like, it's steampunky. It's like weirdly Empire versus Rebels.
Yeah, and also the way that you like sort of navigate the world is like there's this overworld that you move in, and then you can go to smaller areas. Yeah.
The magic system was cool in that one with Espers and whatnot. How you like gained like permanent stuff. It was very similar to Final Fantasy IX.
Yeah, I did not love that.
Yeah,
actually,
I liked it a lot. I mean, anything that gives you permanent abilities, I'm like down for.
Yeah,
yeah, but yeah, 5 I've never played. That's the job one. I don't know anything about that.
If it's a job one, then I should definitely like it.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, Final Fantasy over. We should go to the orchestra. Sorry, Liz.
Yes.
Okay.
For now,
there was a Final Fantasy Broadway show though.
Then I would go.
Turn it into show tunes.
I need to have something else. Honestly, yeah, I need lyrics. I just need lyrics. Need to have it.
Tifa just killed a man. Oh my God. All right. Let's put a pin in it. Guys, thank you so much for joining us on episode 87 of the Crit Raid podcast. We'll be back next week for more. Next week's not Alex. Week after.
No, the week after. No, okay.
It's in a few weeks.
First
week.
Where did Alex go?
First week of May.
I thought he was...
May 1st.
Okay.
Whenever that is.
Yeah.
Look forward to Alex in the near future. But for now, thank you, Justin. Thank you, Liz.
Thank you, Justin.
And we'll see you on the next one. Bye, everybody.
Bye.